You seem to have given this a great deal of thought, Moody, said Karkaroff coldly, and a very ingenious theory it is. Though, of course, I heard you recently got it into your head that one of your birthday presents contained a cunningly disguised basilisk egg, and smashed it to pieces before realizing it was a carriage clock. So you'll understand if we don't take you entirely seriously.
There are those who turn innocent occasions to their advantage, Moody retorted in a menacing voice. It's my job to think the way dark wizards do, Karkaroff, as you ought to remember.
Alastor, said Dumbledore warningly.
Harry wondered for a moment whom he was speaking to, but then realized Mad Eye could hardly be Moody's real first name. Moody fell silent, though still surveying Karkaroff with satisfaction. Karkaroff's face was burning.
How this situation arose, we do not know, said Dumbledore, speaking to everyone gathered in the room. It seems to me, however, that we have no choice but to accept it. Both Cedric and Harry have been chosen to compete in a tournament. This, therefore, they will do.
Or but Dumbledore.
My dear Madame Maxime, if you have an alternative, I would be delighted to hear it.
Dumbledore waited, but Madame Maxime did not speak. She merely glared. She wasn't the only one either. Snape looked furious, Karkaroff livid. Bagman, however, looked rather excited.
Well, shall we crack on then?
He said, rubbing his hands together and smiling around the room.
Got to give our champions their instructions, haven't we? Barty, want to do the honours?
Mr. Crouch seemed to come out of a deep reverie.
Yes, he said. Instructions, yes. The first task.
He moved forward into the firelight. Close up, Harry thought he looked ill. There were dark shadows beneath his eyes, and a thin, papery look about his wrinkled skin that had not been there at the Quidditch World Cup.
The first task is designed to test your daring, he told Harry, Cedric, Fleur, and Victor. So, we are not going to be telling you what it is. Courage, in the face of the unknown, is an important quality in a wizard. Very important. The first task will take place on November the 24th in front of the other students and the panel of judges. The champions are not permitted to ask for or accept help of any kind from their teachers to complete the tasks in the tournament. The champions will face the first challenge armed only with their wands. They will receive information about the second task when the first is over. Owing to the demanding and time-consuming nature of the tournament, the champions are exempted from end-of-year tests.
Mr. Crouch turned to look at Dumbledore.
I think that's all. Is it, Albus?
I think so,
said Dumbledore, who was looking at Mr. Crouch with mild concern.
Are you sure you wouldn't like to stay at Hogwarts tonight, Barty?
No, Dumbledore. I must get back to the Ministry, said Mr. Crouch. It is a very busy, very difficult time at the moment. I've left young Weatherby in charge. Very enthusiastic. A little over-enthusiastic, if truth be told.
You'll come and have a drink before you go, at least, said Dumbledore.
Come on, Barty, I'm staying, said Bagman brightly. It's all happening at Hogwarts now, you know, much more exciting here than at the office.
I think not, Ludo,
said Crouch with a touch of his old impatience.
Professor Karkaroff, Madame Maxime, a nightcap? Said Dumbledore.
But Madame Maxime had already put her arm around Fleur's shoulders and was leading her swiftly out of the room. Harry could hear them both talking very fast in French as they went off into the great hall. Karkaroff beckoned to Crumb, and they too exited, though in silence.
Harry, Cedric, I suggest you go up to bed,
said Dumbledore, smiling at both of them.
I am sure Gryffindor and Hufflepuff are waiting to celebrate with you, and it would be a shame to deprive them of this excellent excuse to make a great deal of mess and noise."
Harry glanced at Cedric, who nodded, and they left together.